Off the Ball Breakfast.
I've used Rory McIlroy's achievement as personal growth for myself. You can overcome adversity to lead your business in Q2.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
John Duggan.
Good morning, Jared. Good morning, Arthur. How are we doing?
What's rare is wonderful. And to Arthur, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. What kind of a weekend, JD?
Ah, look, it was just an amazing sporting weekend, wasn't it? Katie McCabe, Liverpool, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Villa messing up, Newcastle messing up but surviving the Champions League, Sunderland going back to the Premier League, Celtic losing the Scottish Cup, Bordeaux winning the Champions Cup rugby, Tyrone beating Donegal, Cork into the Munster final, Galway into the Leinster final, Camogie back, ladies football back, Brian Moore and Aidan O'Brien winning everything. That's normal. Pretty amazing weekend for sport. And probably Gary, missed a lot of things. And Gary Lineker gone.
Lineker, yeah, was one of the first things you spoke about this morning. So you were saying you were, you know, it was ringing some emotional bells.
Well,
for you.
That was maybe because he's a Spurs great, but I've been watching Match of the Day since forever, since I was a kid, and he's presenting us since 1999. So it was just interesting to see, after all the controversy, what it would be like last night when he was serenaded off the TV pitch, as it were. And they started Match of the Day with a kind of a montage of his goals for Leicester and for Everton and for England and for Barcelona. That was the very start. Normally they'd have all the goals from the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s in Match of the Day, but they'd all Lineker's goals in the old TV. Then it started off, he, Michael Richards and Alan Shearer, his kind of, like, I suppose, his A-list sidekicks for Match of the Day. And then the first thing he said was, it wasn't meant to end this way. Maybe I'm paraphrasing it, but it wasn't meant to end this way. And then he paused for a second, looking at the camera, and then he went and he said, the Champions League is the only thing we have in the line this weekend. The Premier League's been decided, the relegation's been decided. But we all know it was a little bit of a line to just say, look, I am not walking out the door here the way I wanted to. Surely he wanted to be walking out the door of the BBC in New Jersey next year at the World Cup final, but it's not going to be the case. So they went through the usual 90 minutes, the unbelievably professional and calm, engaging, just that authority that he brings to the presentation. And then at the very end, we're going to get the tearjerker moment here, about 10 past 12 in the morning. This is Steve Davis, Dennis Taylor, time of the night. So what they did was then they had a massive tribute of, like, little video messages from everybody, whether it was Adam Smith, who was his former Leicester teammate, to Peter Shilton, to Mark Lawrence, and to Adam Hansen, to Claudio Ranieri, Pep Guardiola, Virgil van Dijk, and then finishing up with getting the golden boot from Shearer, and you know, everybody's kind of, Ian Rice did a lot of tearful stuff. And then Andrea Bocelli, there's a link to a song, and then when they come back to Lineker, he starts tearing up and then says thank you to everybody. And it was actually quite emotional, to be honest, because it just seems to me that he's kind of a TV, I suppose, institution. It's a game we love, and Lineker, whether you like him or not, I just think he's a decent enough fella. And I know, look, he made a mistake last week, but in the round, generally what he's been saying has been, you know, coming from a place of empathy and love. So I think fair play to Gary Lineker, and I hope he's, well, ITV have got the big bucks from.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's not the end that we see of him. But it is, like, really interesting that the BBC hold Gary Lineker more to account than they hold the Israeli Defence Forces for the genocide of Gaza. It's really interesting that we're at that stage of the world where NICAP end up being accused of terrorism and loads of other people aren't.
The proportionality of this is absolutely astounding. The proportionality is astounding.
It is absolutely mad. So,
like,
anyway,
we're dealing with a horror here, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And we should be paying attention to it, not to Gary Lineker. But fair play to Lineker for actually speaking out and using his platform, and maybe now free from whatever strictures he was in after the previous issues that he'd had when he agreed not to say anything on social media. He's going to shuffle into the centre of importance in politics in the UK a bit more. We'll see. One other thing just before we get into everything. News came through that Kevin McStay's health continues to be monitored after he suffered a medical episode at a training session on Saturday. So obviously, we send our best wishes to Kevin McStay. And John Fogarty's piece has a line at the very end. McStay's health scare comes as GAA President Jarlath Burns and Director General Tom Ryan attend a special meeting of the County Board in Westport this evening, where the county's finances are expected to be discussed. That's a story that Ewan McKenna has been working on a good bit online and has published lots on. And it goes back years and years and years. And it just is very interesting to see it kind of starting to bubble up now into the coverage while all the sport is actually happening as well. So, right, a reminder, Off the Wall Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care, and things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to. Choose us to help you get back in action. Will we get straight into this week's performance rankings?
Yes. The good?
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad?
I'm scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber?
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
All right. Arthur, you can't actually see the screen. No. There's nothing on the screen at the moment, so you, it'll be a magical mystery round. Yeah, we're starting with Katie McCabe.
Well, I didn't see it coming. I really like everything in the pre-match build-up to that. It seemed like a bit of a foregone conclusion that Barcelona were just going to go do their business and clear up. It's incredible. It's incredible achievement. Arsenal beat Barcelona 1-0 in the Champions League final on Saturday evening. Unbelievable. Second time in the club's history. Only English team to do it.
Was it 8-1 in the over the two legs that they beat Chelsea?
8-2.
8-2. And a Chelsea side who've been completely unbeatable in England. So Katie McCabe is off celebrating. I think, did she say she's already in Ibiza? Do we know?
Well, she's in Lisbon. It's not far to go, is it?
But you could definitely short hop, all right.
What I love about this is what 2007, as Arthur said, when Emma Byrne and Kira Grant and Yvonne Tracy win a Champions League, it is a drop in the Pacific Ocean. It's not even on the radar. And this is now front page of the Sunday Times yesterday. Back pages, Eamon Dunphy writes about it today. It's just an amazing achievement. It's just, like, how many Irish people have won Champions Leagues? We're talking about what? Shea Brennan, Tony Dunn, Michael Robinson, Ronnie Whelan, Mark Lawrence, and Steve Highway, Dennis Irwin, Roy Keane.
Steve Finnan.
Very few, very few. And for Katie McCabe, to be a leading part of that team, to be a key part of the defensive unit that kept Barcelona scoreless, to beat Lyon on the way, to finish 12 points behind Chelsea, but then to go and win that Champions League is just unbelievable. Not only to captain your country at such a young age, but then to score the first ever goal for the Republic of Ireland at the World Cup finals, you think, well, it's not going to get much better than that. But maybe this, in a way, is even better because this is the pinnacle of your club football, your personal career. And as she said in the aftermath, and she said in all the interviews beforehand, she wants to inspire young girls and boys to believe that they can follow that dream. And her road was not always paved with certainty. She was left at Raheny, went to Arsenal, and then had to go to Glasgow on loan, had to stick at it, had to dig it out, and she has. And it's a fantastic, I don't know if it's necessarily her, Cathy McNamee probably let us know more, but her natural position playing in that position, left back. But it is just sensational, and it should be the top story. It is the top story.
It's just the only slight caveat to all this is it's so disappointing that we're not getting ready to face the Netherlands on the 5th of July. It would have been another big shot in the arm. So I think absolutely Katie McCabe going in the green, Arsenal going in the green. There's no ifs, ands or buts about that. So we can...
Interesting, Tommy Walsh came on with me yesterday on the show and he... Because I suppose sometimes you don't think about this. And it was a great week for us at Arsenal. I grew up with Tony Adams and we won the Champions League yesterday. And to equate the women and the men into the same bracket. Because sometimes we don't do that. And that I love that he did that. And I was going, yeah, actually, you've had just as good a week as me.
Arsenal do a great job of it though as well, which is kind of vindicating. Yeah. Were the murals painted around the Emirates when they opened, or was it a few years? It must have been years after, was it?
It was I have no concept in my head anymore of how old the Emirates is.
About 2006.
Yeah, it's around then, yeah.
So they didn't obviously win it the year after, so it's obviously a little bit after. But they've always incorporated, even Emma Byrne, amongst those murals. And they've just done a great job of kind of building it. It's great synchronicity, so it's great to see that rewarded.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's unbelievable. Like, it really is. It's just when you... I just think she's the fourth Irish player ever. So that's just... I know it's not a game. Obviously, most of our players are in England or whatever, and they've not really typically had the greatest success there, but it's incredible stuff. It's just... And it's so surprising. That's what I genuinely...
I didn't see the odds, but I presume...
9-1.
9-1, wow.
Yeah, I think it was Barcelona's fifth final in as many years.
And they've won three of the last four?
Yeah. So, like, it's... Yeah, it's out of the charts, off the charts. Like,
a stunning achievement.
It's such a peak for a career. Like, I know all she's done internationally, but like, Massive.
Almost as big an upset was Manchester United, the quality of their performance yesterday. That's Unai Emery with his head in his hands.
What happened, Ger?
That was, their form has been really bad over the last couple of months, and the chickens came home to roost. Like, obviously, they played really badly from the start. And then, obviously, two things can be true. They got completely ridden by the referee. But, you know, it's one of those whenever was it Nani getting sent off in the Champions League, and Roy Keane is like, well, you put your foot up, you're going to give the opportunity for them, for the referee to make a decision. It's like, Villa should have taken it out of the referee's hands. They didn't. I think that their squad hasn't been deep enough. And, you know, when Ollie Watkins plays as badly as he did.
To listen to this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.